Happy birthday, church. Almost 2,000 years. Almost. That's why some people think the year 2033 is very, very exciting to think about, because that's the 2,000th anniversary of when Jesus died on the cross. Without him dying on the cross, he couldn't send another comforter. He couldn't send the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is now dwelling in each one of you, if you've named his name and confessed him before men. Let's read Psalm 19 again this morning. The hymn we just sang talked about the Holy Spirit coming and filling us, and the last sentence says, to circle us within thine arms. The Holy Spirit, who is spirit and has no body. I just like that thought, that he's here. And if there's any one that don't have that emotion or that feeling or that, will you say, just the awareness of being loved of God this morning, being encircled by his arms. Our prayer is that not only just before the end of the service today, through the last prayer, but somewhere the Holy Spirit will circle you in his arms. Because he's God. He's not an ant. He's not just an influence. He is the God, the true God, the living God. The Spirit of God that moved on the face of the waters, and he's the Spirit of God that's moving in our hearts this morning. And this law that we're going to read about right here is the law that brings us the knowledge of sin and death, and it's the law that brings us an awareness of sin in our lives, and it's also the law that converts a soul. And that's what the Holy Spirit's work is, to reprove this, the world of sin and righteousness and judgment to come. So there's a little preamble of a message, of which we're not going to give you today. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices as a strong man to run away. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and is circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. And the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me. Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright. I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Our brother has asked for the reading of Galatians chapter 5. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should obey not, that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another.
Well, good morning again, and we greet you in the precious and powerful name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, in whom we trust and wait for and long for. I hope that's your longing even this morning, not just for a message, but that the Lord would fill your heart and soul. The Lord would fill your every longing and need. And through weak vessels and the foolishness of preaching, we somehow take the word of God, and like Anthony prayed for, that the rhema of the inspired word of God, the rhema of God's word, would come through the power of the Holy Spirit and touch each and every heart. It's not of us, it's of him. It's in him and through him and by him that we live and move and have our being. So, because he is all and in all. Probably my wife is the only one that knows. Here's a little disclaimer, but anybody should even say this. Let me know if I shouldn't have said this afterwards. We decided to go through the book of Romans at Zilla. And so the last two messages have been a preamble and a starting into the first chapter. And so I thought, well, we could bring that message here, at least one of them, or combine them. And so last week we talked about a date with deity, because every soul here has a date with deity. Every one of you are going to be going, the Bible says it's appointed to man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And we're going to go into the judgment seat of Christ as believers with the assurance of salvation, but judged according to our works and the deeds done according to his body. Or we're going to go to the white, great white throne judgment and be judged to see if our names are written in the book of life. I thought, well, we could talk about a date with deity here. I think we will. But in a different context. Because as one brother came and we spoke with him this morning, he had 176 or 175 on his lips singing in the praises to God. And I wonder what song we're going to hear today. It didn't click yet. And Merle greeted me and said, "Happy Pentecostal morning." It didn't click yet. I'm pretty slow learning. And then he gave liberty and it clicked. Today is Pentecost. And I had not prepared a Pentecost message. And so the Holy Spirit is going to prepare the message for you this morning. The Holy Spirit is going to speak about your date with destiny. And we greeted another brother this morning, and we just praised the Lord that his daughter's getting baptized this week. And we as we discussed, it's like, at what point does conviction come into the heart of a youth or an older man or a teenager? At what point does the Holy Spirit convict and reprove you of sin and righteousness and judgment to come? At what age do you confess and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, for the glory of God the Father? So we sang 176, come to sin. And we're reading Galatians 5 about the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to speak to my heart, and the Holy Spirit is going to speak to your heart, and we'll try to see what he has for us. Because the fruit of the Spirit is a work of righteousness. The fruit of the Spirit, one of his works, is the sealing as our son and heir of Jesus Christ, joint heir with Christ. The fruit of the Spirit is a sanctifying work, like we heard about in the opening, that causes us to endure trials. The fruit of the Spirit is a serving gift, that he's given us all these gifts in the body. And that's Holy Spirit's divine instruction to take those gifts and serve each other in love, like we read about here in Galatians 5. Not out of duty, not out of jealousy or anger, but in love. And the fruit of the Spirit is a saving spirit from fear and judgment to come, Hebrews 9:27. And it's a sanctifying spirit, because he has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:6-7. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He continues to convict us of sin and righteousness and judgment to come. And that's why we read here in Galatians 5:6. Christ has become of no effect unto you. 5:4, whosoever you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. That's what we're waiting on right now. We're waiting on the hope of righteousness by faith. We are saved by hope, we've heard about. And that hope does not make us ashamed, but that hope gives us that calm assurance that this work of righteousness through Jesus Christ has already been imputed to us, but we're waiting for the resurrection of the body, the glorious return, and the appearing of Christ when we're caught up to him. For through the Spirit, we wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. And it's because circumcision don't avail anything, or uncircumcision, but faith which works by love. As we grow in our Christian walk, in our Christian faith, each one of us go through things. We are challenged. Peter says we are to grow in grace and the further knowledge of the truth. And so that's one of our prayers, even this morning as we take the message, is that this will cause our faith to grow. This will cause our steps to know that where we're going is the way the Lord is leading us. And we're going to the light, toward the light and not darkness. So as we think about this, let's sing hymn number 14. In thy great name, O Lord, we come to worship at thy feet. O pour thy Holy Spirit down on all that now shall meet. Are you a rebel this morning? I just pray that the Holy Spirit will encircle your heart with his arms and you will be subdued by his love, because God is love. Are you rebelling against anything that the Holy Spirit has convicted you of this week? Are you rebelling against anything the Holy Spirit has asked you to do this week? Why are you not allowing your heart to be subdued by his love? You have a date with destiny, because you have a date with deity. And your date with deity determines your destiny, and the choices you make now are going to impact your life now, and it's going to impact the rest of your life, and it's going to impact your eternity and where you spend it. So may the love of God be shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit which he's given you, and may you, with conviction, know that Jesus Christ is Lord. You're rebelling against the truth. You are denying the only true God. You are denying the Creator God. You profess that you know him, but in works you deny him. And the Holy Spirit is convicting us of sin. And you're using the distractions of the technology of this world. You're using the distractions of the things of this world. You're using the pleasures of this life to cause you to flee him, when we're warning you to flee the wrath to come. Because you have a date with destiny. And that destiny is deity. That destiny is God. And God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit loves you. Their love gift became man in the person of Jesus Christ, and he gave his life for us on the cross. Jesus said, I have the power to lay down my life, and I have the power to take it back up. So we have a date with destiny and with deity. And you know, we've said that already, but you have an appointment or you have a date with death. And no one knows the hour of our death or your death. I sent a picture of our siblings to the Rumble Family Connections. They thought, oh, are they all here? Well, no, Gordon just had surgery and he can't even hardly walk. They're not all here. That was a couple years ago, but one of the siblings sent a picture, and someone says, well, I hope this wasn't going to be a declaration of someone's passing, because I said, we were standing on pavers. I said, we're standing on the promises of God, but someday we'll be standing on the streets of gold. We're standing on the promises of God now. And the promises of God are yea and amen in Jesus Christ. But someday, those who believe in Jesus Christ, that he was crucified for us for our sins, that he was buried to take our sins of ours east from the west, that he rose again by the power of the Spirit of God through the resurrection power, which just shows here in Romans 1:4, it shows his deity. Romans 1:4, it says that declared him to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. That Spirit of holiness is the Holy Spirit. That Spirit of holiness is the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit. And that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is in your mortal bodies. He's enlightening you and quickening you, empowering you, gifting you, sanctifying you, sealing you, so you're saved from grace, saved from my grace, from sin, to live for Him. And so, I ask you this morning, are you afraid to die? Are you afraid of dying? Are you afraid of death? Again, Paul told Timothy, God's not given us that spirit of fear. The Holy Spirit is a spirit of power. The Holy Spirit is a spirit of love. And the Holy Spirit is a spirit of being transformed, renewed, born again, sound mind. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And that's what He's continuing to do. I trust in each and every one of our lives. As we grow in grace and the further knowledge of His truth, I had to think about trees. You know something unique about trees? They're growing up and they're growing down at the same time. Got my hazelnuts yesterday, and I seen a hazelnut, and I thought, pick it up, and it had already begun to root. And so first they grow down. Roots of an oak tree, for example, can grow down if the soil's good 3 feet before it has a blade of a leaf. All roots, all trees, all seeds grow down before they grow up. And that's what God wants us to be learning this morning, is that we need to be buried with Christ in baptism. We need to be buried, and Jesus said that seed needs to go into the ground, and it needs to be buried, and then it grows in that darkness, in that void, in that humility, in that brokenness, as we are identified with Christ in His death and burial and resurrection. It's that broken hull of our pride and ego, and everything just flows out in repentance, and we are broken on the rock, Christ Jesus, and our roots begin to grow, and our faith begins to grow. And this is called a graphotopic in tree roots. They, by gravity, by nature, it just, they have to grow down and out. And as they grow down and out, that's gravitopism, is something that just all plants grow down and outward for water and nutrients. And as they grow down for water and nutrients, they become a stabilizing force, a stabilizing fact of stability and life and nourishment. And I like to tell people when I'm talking to them sometimes, if I'm standing like this, you could come up and push me up. Try it afterwards, children. You could come up and push me over real easy if I'm standing like this. Just let me know that you're going to do it before you do it. But when you're a tree root, just like this, that tree would fall over. In fact, a lot of times if a tree lodges or falls over, I tell them, don't try to stake it back up. It's going to kink and break the other roots that are living. And then it's fine. It can continue to live on this horizontal plane, but the roots on this side are not stabilizing. It's fine for a 10 or 15-year-old pine or 10 or 15-foot pine, but you take a 40, 50, 60-foot pine and it don't have roots on the side, it's going to go down. So that stabilizing force of the roots need to be in all directions, and it's a part of our growth. We need to grow in grace and the further knowledge of the truth, and God wants us to grow in all areas in this gravitopic way. And it directs these to gravitropism, not only directs roots outward and downward and rooted and nourished. We need to be rooted and nourished in Christ and grow up into Him who is the head of all things, Colossians tells us. So God pleads for us to be and to be persevering and protecting and persecute. I wanted to read that out of Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And those are verses 153 to 160. Consider my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. We're talking about the law of God, the word of God, the statutes and judgments and commandments of God. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not my statutes. Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgments. Many are my persecutors and my enemies, yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. I beheld the transgressors and was grieved, because they kept not thy word. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. That's a part of God's law and nature. He has these roots growing out and down and stability, and then we can start to grow up in him. Then we can start to grow up and be visible. Then our works of faith, Galatians 5:6 says, starts to show the loving aspect of this beautiful tree. And you look at the beauty of nature around us, and none of it would be beautiful without having first have endured hardness for the Lord's sake, having first had to grow in darkness and grow in secret without and prayer and fasting and brokenness and humility and the things that people don't see. You have to continue to do good things that people don't see, and that goodness is being in relationship with an unseen God and an unseen spirit doing the work. And then you start to see the fruit of faith. You have to have the root before you have the fruit. You have to have the root before you can produce. And that root of faith produces good works. And that good work is coming up for others to see that you have love and goodness and peace and gentleness and meekness and long-suffering, and that you're willing to go through these things for Jesus' sake, because you are led of Jesus. And that's phototropic. When you're growing up, you're growing toward the light. Phototropic plants will just grow. We just treated some, it's kind of weird. I've seen it happen multiple times, but this was a house that had a concrete slab. All subbed in. 3 years later, all of a sudden, a leaf comes up behind the mirror that's on a wall and grows over and hangs down like a hanging plant in a brand new home here in North Ellensburg that's 3 years old. And like, there's no plants outside, and it's like, what in the world? And Kelly couldn't see, he remembered seeing a vine growing up on the foundation wall, and he cut it, and he didn't have anyone pour diesel or gas or chemical on it. So it continued to live. And that's what phototropic plants will do. If they have light and they have root, they will continue to endure hardness of the whole building being formed and built. And that thing grew up out of the pipe that was in solid concrete and grew up and came up underneath the toe kick of a sink in the master bedroom and grew up behind the mirror and came up to where there's light. And I'm just asking you, what are you building upon? Where are you building on? And are you able to continue to grow up to the light of the Lord Jesus and reveal the power that he's given you by being rooted and grounded in him? We could probably go on that, but God is asking us to understand that our date with him is very important. There's a verse in the Bible that I didn't take the time to look up, but it says, some men's sins go beforehand to judgment, and some men's follow after. Well, I think it's Hebrews 9:26-27, because it says appointed a man wants to die after judgment. But we need to pass our sins beforehand to judgment. And that judgment beforehand that we're passing them on is actually going back to Christ on the cross. And when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ and we confess that we're a sinner, God be merciful to me, a sinner, we're saying, you alone have taken the atonement for our sin. Let's go to Hebrews 9. I can't bring that out without the Word of God. Hebrews, James. And Hebrews 9 and 10, it is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, who we're betrothed to, by the way. He's our date. He's our husband, if you will. He's our friend, our Savior, our Lord. But he's the one that we do not want to be divorced from. In verse 24 of Hebrews 9, so we're talking about the shedding of blood in verse 22. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Verse 24 of 9, Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, like the temple where they sacrificed, and once a year the priest would go in and offer blood, which are the figures of the true. The place made with hand, that temple, is a type or figure of the true temple, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who died for us. Christ entered into the holy, into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. That's who we have interceding for us. That's our beloved. We go to Song of Solomon. We don't have time to do that, but this is my beloved. His banner over me is love, because the Holy Spirit is love. God is love, 1 John will say. And this love gift of Jesus went to the cross and shed his blood for us. Tremendous. And it goes on. For then must he have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once, in the end of the world, almost 2,000 years ago, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So God accepted this perfect sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, and he has put away sin by that sacrifice. All sin of all mankind for all time. And then it says, and it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this to judgment. So Christ once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto him that looked for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So that don't have the place where I couldn't find. But anyways, some sins are passed beforehand to judgment, and some sins follow after. You know the verse. And so what we do now, thinking about our date with destiny, is we confess Christ as Lord, and we confess our sins, and we ask for forgiveness, and our sins are passed on to judgment, and they're already taken care of on the cross. But those people who follow after are people that have rejected the Lord Jesus, have not confessed that he is Lord, that they have not believed in their heart that God raised him from the dead by the Spirit. And they have not repented of their sins, and they are awaiting the eternal judgment at the great white throne. I see several of you out there that are experiencing dating or courtship. Exciting times, as we discussed it this morning. They can be anticipating times or nervous times. How was it on you, with you that are married or you that are dating or looking forward to possibly a date? What's your emotions? What are you feeling like on that date? I had to think about myself. I was nervous, but I was excited. I had questions. I had fears. I had doubts, maybe self-accusing doubts. And then there was anticipation. it's getting closer. That's the day for my date. But where to go and what to do and what to wear and how to behave, and as you think about a date, you start to go through these things in your mind, and it's like, wow. So you could have pros and cons of these different thoughts and the emotions. And then you start to think about it with this date of your death that determines, that's it. After you die, that's the judgment. The date of your death, at that point, depending on your decisions in life, will determine your destiny with deity or eternal flame. So think about that as you think about going on a date. And there's so many areas you can, I haven't developed this, so there's so many areas you can go. Do you have a daily date with Jesus? Do you have a date in devotions with Him? Do you look forward to honoring Him, and you're waiting in hope for Him, and you're looking forward to that blessing, that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God, because that date is coming. It may come in our lifetime, and it may not. But when our lifetime is over, the date is sealed. And so, are you looking forward to that? Are you nervous about it? Excited? Do you have a lot of questions? Are you anticipating it? Where are you going to go? What are you going to wear? Are you going to be clothed in eternal torment and flames and the blackness of darkness forever? That day of judgment? Or are you going to be clothed with the robe of righteousness and have those crowns given to you that you can just cast down and say, worthy is the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world? How are you going to behave on your date? Now, I had to think about, too, when we're thinking about going on a date, we think about that person that we're going on a date with. This could be a life companion, right? And so you need to learn to know about that person. When you go on a date, you need to ask questions and then answer questions. But you need to get to know someone. You learn about their faith. You learn about their character. You learn about their desires. You learn about their goals and visions. You learn about their worldview. Then you learn about their biblical worldview, where they're at in their faith. Learn about their family. You're marrying into a family. You learn about their habits. You learn about their behavior. In other words, you learn about their abilities, their availability for you, and their attributes. And so when you go on a date, and you could add so much more to that, but you're looking for these things, and you're listening. And your heart's desire is to have a companion that is a Christian for life. And God bless you. Jesus Christ satisfies every one of these things. And if you're single, you have all you need in Him. You are complete in Him. You are fulfilled in Him. You are blessed in Him. Whether you're a widower or a widow or single and never married, God has a blessing and a ministry and a work for each one of us. But our most important date is not some future court date that we're going to be on jury duty or some doctor appointment. Those dates we look forward to with dread or fear, or I wish we could postpone or cancel it. Our most important day is the day of our salvation. The date that we can put in the stake in the ground and say, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that date seals your destiny in Him. Jesus said, and He repeats it twice, that you're in my hands. and no man can pluck you from my hands. And you're in my Father's hands, and no man can take you from me. He has sealed and given us the earnest of our deposit, that down payment, through the presence of the Holy Spirit. And he wants you, just like we read there in Galatians 5, he wants you to continue to walk in him. Don't walk in the flesh, fulfill the desire of the flesh, but walk in him. And that's the date that we want, is to be saved and sealed and securely in him. I'm a little bit challenged with where to go here, and I'm just wondering what the Spirit is saying to the church this morning. I'm wondering what the Spirit is saying to me this morning. I think I'm going to give way to the brethren. We don't see this happen very much, but I'm going to do it this morning. I'm going to give way to the brethren because another brother had a message this morning. And we don't hardly ever see two, not that we need two testimonials for the message, but we don't hardly ever see two closings where some brother can stand up and speak and then another brother takes us to prayer. We don't see that very often. So as we wrap up, I want to ask you some questions. Each one of us have been called of God. We don't believe in the Calvinistic doctrine that only a few chosen ones are elected and chosen of God. We believe that the calling of God is to all men everywhere. For God so loved the world that he gave his Son. It's for everyone. It's the free will choice for all. Not that there isn't an understanding of the election of God. We are chosen and elected, and God chooses those who chose him. And he's, in his sovereignty, he preordained and elected and saved and sealed those people. But each one of you are called of God. And there's a verse in Romans 11:29 that says, the gifts of the Holy Spirit and calling of God are without repentance. In other words, that without repentance means irrevocable. The gift that God has given you and the calling that God is calling you to salvation through Jesus Christ, they're, once you've accepted, they're irrevocable. He won't revoke them. God is not someone that's going to call you unto himself and then when you come to him, away. There will be some in the last day that will say, Lord, Lord, I did all these mighty works. No, Jesus says, I never knew you. Depart from me. People can do mighty things in the name of God for the glory of themselves and not for the glory of God. They profess themselves to be wise, but in works they deny him. Philippians 3:14 says that we are depressed toward the mark for the high prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that high calling of God is a calling that he's wanting not only to call you up higher someday, but to call you to a higher walk, a level of a walk in the Spirit, of sanctification of the Spirit, if you will. In 2 Thessalonians 1:11, we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. You see God at work in you? Listen to this verse again. We pray always for you, Paul told the Thessalonian brothers, that our God would count you worthy of this calling. It's a worthy calling in Christ. And fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness. Because it's his goodness that leads men to repentance against the judgment of God. And the work of faith with power. I pray that those of you that know him will continue in faith and love with power that he gives you. I pray for those that you have not named him or do not know Jesus Christ, don't have that relationship, and have not sealed the date of your fate, that you will come to the knowledge of the truth that we are all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. Everyone in this room needed Christ, and we're all equal sinners. You know what the judgment of God is? The judgment of God is doing what is right, because he is true and holy and righteous altogether. And there's a verse in Deuteronomy 32. We are to ascribe greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth, without iniquity, just and right is he. That's what the judgment of God is. He's not going to show partiality. He's going to be impartial in his judgment because it's right, it's holy, it's true, it's good. And we're not going to say, well, why didn't he let those guys go to hell? And why did he save these? No, he is right and holy and just. We are inexcusable, O man, Romans 2:1, if we judge. Because if we judge others and we condemn them in their sin, that list of Romans 1 and Galatians 5 that we read here, if we judge others in that sin, we're just as guilty as them if we offend in one point. That's what Jesus made it very clear and enlightened or enhanced or made the law stronger when he said, if you have envy in your heart or you have hate in your heart, you're a murderer. So with that, I just want to say that our calling of God is to have a date with him, and bless you. You that are married, just continue to have dates with your companion. Continue to go on a date. Continue to look in their eyes and continue to grow in love toward one another, because your relationships as Christians in a marriage and in the body of Christ depicts and dictates to others the true love of God that is given to you by the Spirit of God. May God bless you.